Hello and welcome to this podcast from Zurich on planning for supply chain disruption. My name is Alan Ross and I'll be your host for today. Now, supply chain disruption will have seemed like business as usual for many organisations over the last couple of years. But all of our organisations need to adapt to a volatile and uncertain world. And the challenge is, how do we actually become resilient and plan for supply chain disruptions? And to answer that, I'm delighted to be joined by three subject matter experts. Namde Ahuchugu, who is a supply chain specialist in Zurich Resilience Solutions. Vicky Gibson, who is a business continuity and enterprise risk management specialist in our risk consulting teams. And Alistair Thompson, who is a claims manager for Zurich UK, dealing with large and complex claims. Welcome to you all.
Thank you very much.
Morning.
Thank you.
So first of all, Namde, I'll come to you first, but why is supply chain disruption so topical at the moment, and why is it still such a concern for many organisations?
Thank you, Alan. Supply chain disruption issues have always been prevalent with people that work in either the procurement or the supply chain function. It's nothing new. However, just to put a little bit of context into the scenario of supply chain disruption, we've had a perfect storm of events over sort of last 2 to 3 years. So if you think about the onset of Brexit, so Britain exited from the EU on the 31st of January 2020. At that point in time, there were murmurings in the world about a potential outbreak of a pandemic, which then led to an initial lockdown in the UK in March of 2020. And then following on since then, we've had several other issues. We've got the geopolitical war, which started with the invasion of Ukraine by Russia in February of 2022. And then as a consequence of that, we've had issues around high cost of living, inflation, and we've recently fallen into a recessionary period in the UK. So all these events and everything that's happened has exacerbated the issues that supply chain professionals and procurement professionals have always seen. Those problems have been there in the background, but a culmination of all these events have sort of highlighted those issues, and they've brought it to the forefront of many organizations. In some respects, it's a good thing, because it then shows the importance and the criticality of the supply chain function and how it can impact organisations quite severely.
Yeah, thanks, Namde. So I think we've heard the word unprecedented used so much in the last 3 years, but it does really feel out for what we've seen. And to Namde's point, just as we've overcome one crisis, we do seem to have another one that appears on the horizon. So what I'd like to do is just give a little bit of context from an insurance company and particularly a claims perspective, because clearly insurance companies are not immune from these global factors. So we've seen shortages in things such as car parts, building materials and labour shortages across all sectors. So these weren't easy for us to overcome, but we absolutely had to make sure we were there to ultimately deliver for our customers in their time of need, i.e. when they had a loss. So just to give you a flavour of some of the things we've done. So we've really tried to challenge ourselves around repairing item rather than jumping straight to replace, which is what we've done previously. Clearly there's an environmental benefit to that as well. We've done things such as adding Airbnb to our alternative accommodation offering when people are displaced from their home following a loss. And again, this gives us more access to housing stock, and sometimes it's better housing stock in terms of it's to keep people in their community where they are. On large losses, we're seeing less and less contractors responding to tender requests to do reinstatement projects. So we've worked with contractors to offer what we call a cost-plus model to de-risk the job for the contractor and make sure we can reinstate our customer's building. And then I think the really, really important thing that we've experienced throughout this from a supply chain perspective is we're not going to solve every problem immediately, but if you communicate with your customers and really keep them updated about what is possible and what's not possible, we've seen real benefit from doing that. So hopefully these examples although they relate to insurance, I hope they do resonate with all businesses. We've all got to be able to adapt to conditions in the world around us and continue to deliver for our customers. So the final reflection I just want to give on this section of the podcast is, how do we challenge ourselves as organisations across every sector to proactively change outside of a crisis rather than changing when a burning platform drives us to change?
Thanks, Alistair. So it's really dealing creatively and finding new solutions and trying to be a bit more innovative in response to some of this, but equally getting ahead of the, trying to get ahead of some of these issues. But I guess, I mean, Vicky, this is probably more your area, but when we think about why organisations don't prepare effectively, I mean, why is that?
Well, there's a lot of standard reasons or excuses, depending on how you want to view that. But organisations generally say they don't have the time, they don't have the money, they don't have resource, perhaps in-house expertise, they can't get senior level buy-in. And my personal favourite is probably linked to that last one about getting buy-in, which is it will never happen to us. And I've heard that consistently over 20 years doing business continuity management, and continue to still hear it today. Is it will never get that bad, that we'll need to have a plan for it.
Yeah, sort of just add to what Vicky has also said, Alan. I think from a technical perspective, I think the lack of visibility of the multi-tier supply base is also a very, very big issue within supply chains. And this is of no fault of the supply chain professionals or the procurement professionals. It's very difficult to see beyond your tier twos, your tier threes, your tier fours without having a concise exercise that allows you to map and create that visibility within. Something occurs in your tier four and you have no visibility of that tier four, then it impacts the tier threes, the tier twos, and then consequently your direct suppliers. And there's always a great degree of difficulty in the organizations being able to see this. And just as Vicky mentioned as well, the time and the resource issue is also quite prevalent in terms of impacting organizations' ability to prepare effectively. They don't have the time, they don't have the resource to fully map the supply chains and understand their vulnerabilities in that respect.
Thanks. So what we're hearing here is a sort of very volatile picture, the perfect storm, organizations dealing with crises or responding to situations rather than getting ahead of what the disruption could be. I guess with all of these potential disruptions that could happen, how do you actually decide what to plan for?
Yes, I think a business, an organisation needs to establish the timeline that you're going to plan for. So you'll have a lot of immediate operational risks and issues, which obviously you're going to be spending time dealing with. But it's important not to lose sight of the longer term risks that might be coming up on the horizon as well. So things like, for example, climate change, which a lot of people have put to one side because of everything else that's going on, but it's not going to go away. And we know it's going to impact both your own business, and also you're going to need to think about the impact that your operation has on climate change. The regulatory environment is likely to change. Regulations are getting more and more stringent.
I'll just add something to that, Vicky. When I think about the role of insurance around the overall planning process, I think it's fair to say that we would very much see insurance as being part of the solution, but not the solution in itself. So, you know, a lot of property insurance policies will have what's called contingent business interruption, which does afford cover to the policyholder for an insured peril. So an insured peril, something like a fire or a flood, happening at a supplier premises. So obviously you can protect yourself through insurance for some supply chain issues, but when we look at the issues as they stand today, which is more sort of global issues, they're unlikely to be covered by a standard insurance policy. So I would absolutely say what Vicky said, insurance is part of the solution, but that understanding your supply chain and mitigating your risks is absolutely the way to go.
Yeah, it's all about being flexible and having good response. So if your management team have a good handle on the operation generally and the risk environment and what's, you know, what could be coming up on the risk horizon, and if risk management is embedded in the organisation, they're going to be the organisations that respond really well, communicate well, and manage to recover. I won't say recover back to normal, because there probably isn't going to be the same normality. We often talk about new normality, and that's what we're seeing at the moment, is the new normality.
Yeah, just to also add to that, Vicky and Alistair, I think you both have very, very, very valid points. It might be worth just bringing it into the context of, you know, one of the services that we do offer from a supply chain risk management perspective, which is a supply chain loss scenario analysis. And part of that analysis is looking at every sort of eventuality, looking at things like natural disasters, fires, security breaches, and many other forms of supply chain disruption, and working with clients to sort of tailor a realistic solution to their working environments, to basically test the organizational resilience, and explore interdependencies and ways in which the organization can recover from those sort of disruption issues.
Just to add to that, it's important to not only plan for scenarios but to learn from experience. So take a look back at recent incidents and near misses. You know, how would you have coped? How did you cope? And what should you learn going forward? It's really important to do those kinds of exercises.
So we've talked here about a really sort of volatile, uncertain environment. What if someone's getting started on this, or they're thinking, where do I start? You know, what practical actions can risk managers or supply and procurement professionals, you know, start to take if they're going to lead their organisations through this uncertainty and make sense of it?
I think an initial starting point, Alan, would be a supply chain resilience health check, which again is something that we offer as part of our core supply chain risk management services from a Zurich Resilient Solutions perspective. And it's not complicated in the way it sounds. It's simply understanding your full end-to-end supply chain processes, right from when there's a requirement for your products or services, right all the way through to making those products and services available for your customers, how you source those products, how you manage your supply chain to get those products or components that makes that product or offers that service into the organization, and just understanding at what point within your supply chain is there a potential for something to go wrong. And I think a lot of organizations, they take this for granted and they think, oh, we do have a level of resilience, but ultimately, have they tested that resilience? Is that resilience included in their business continuity plans? And I'll revert to Vicky in a minute. So Vicky, you know, Vicky's got a lot of expertise around business continuity management, enterprise risk management, and business impact analysis. So Vicky can talk a little bit more about that. But it's all about understanding the robustness of the organization's systems and actually putting it to the test to see if it will hold up against the problems that we have today.
Yeah, absolutely. Second that. Organisations should be aware of their critical suppliers and what makes them critical. It might not just be the financial value of their contract, but are they a sole supplier? Are they a specialist? Are they vulnerable? Are you aware of their vulnerabilities at the moment? And ask your key suppliers for sight of their plans. If they don't want to share those with you, that should possibly be a red flag, because why wouldn't they want to share their contingency arrangements with you? And do you know where you fit in with your key suppliers? So perhaps if there's a, for example, fuel shortage, which is perhaps the one thing we're not actually experiencing at the moment, but it could happen again. Will they still deliver to you as a priority? How high up are you in their scale of priorities? So sound contract management and being aware of those red flags is a key part of contingency planning.
Yeah, and just looking at it from a slightly different angle, which would be an insurance claim. So we know that when a company suffers a large property loss, it causes far more difficulties than simply rebuilding a building. There's a huge impact on your ability to service your customers. It could damage your reputation, etc. And if we add supply chain issues into that, you know, it could elongate the time it takes to reinstate the insured building. So there's just two things I would ask people to think about here. First of all, we can help you prepare for a loss before it happens. So, you know, we call it large loss scenario workshops. Let's have a sit down, have a discussion around what loss in your business would cause significant disruption and how can we work together to make sure it goes as smoothly as possible? So I'm thinking things such as, are you looking to reinstate the building like for like, or might you use materials that are far more available in the current climate? You know, if you've got a really sophisticated piece of machinery that's part of your production line, do we have plans in place that mean we could get that machine back in situ as quick as we can? And that's pre-loss, when you're not in the crisis. But even once a loss has happened, we will absolutely work with you creatively to get your business back up and running. So the sort of things I've said, you know, do you want to reinstate your building in the same location? Do you want to reinstate it with the same method of construction? So there are ways we can work with you to overcome the supply chain disruption, but actually go beyond that and just almost use the claim as an opportunity to position your business really positively going forward.
Thank you. So I guess there's always a danger with risk management, isn't there, that we sort of plan for the last disruption or the last crisis? And I guess, how do we make sure that, or what should our organisations, customers be doing to make sure that they are focused on what could happen in the future, to make sure that they're not just prepared for the kind of most recent disruptions that have happened, but they're actually prepared and resilient, kind of almost regardless of what happens in the future? Vicky?
Yes, thank you. I think typically what we call survivor organisations, the ones who do survive things like the pandemic, things like the geopolitical risks that we've discussed, are the ones who are flexible in their approach, and they come together as a good management team and adapt to the environment. And that's not getting stuck on returning to the same normality. So picking up on your point, Alan, planning for the last incident, but always thinking we need to be flexible. Nobody for sure knows what's coming up on the horizon. If we did, we'd all be millionaires, I suppose. But we have to recognise, you know, just from the UK point of view, our demographic is changing. People's ways of working and living are changing. So that means differing customer demand. Commercial businesses have got to be aware of that and look at that in their own context. For sure, in the immediate future, transport disruptions, service and utility disruptions, potential energy shortages, hard times of recession, financial difficulties, budget cuts, etc. The list goes on and on. And to pick up on climate change and sustainability targets, although they might have dropped off the radar as immediate priorities for a lot of businesses, we can't ignore the impact that things like perhaps water shortages, regulation, targets, net zero goals, different or increased natural hazards, etc. They're all likely to have an impact. Just things to be aware of, and that you need to have flexible plans to deal with.
I feel a little bit like the prophet of doom here, but I'm going to talk again about a large property loss. So just in terms of the landscape changing, I think if your company sustains a large loss, it's likely that the reinstatement period to put that building back is going to be greater than it was pre-pandemic for the reasons we've discussed. So I just think when you're looking at the role insurance plays, just think about the indemnity periods that you have in place. So it might be at the moment, for example, you have a 24-month indemnity period which protects your business income for 2 years. You might want to think about, you know, do I need to move that out to 36 months or even 48 months just to give you the protection you need. So I think that's how we might see the landscape change, Alan, just in terms of the level of cover needed to protect your business.
Yeah, thank you, Alistair. Thank you, Vicky. I think you've both pretty much covered almost everything on that particular topic. But I just wanted to add a point about something that we're seeing today. So as we are recording this podcast, it is December 2022. And the lockdown in China is obviously a topic of concern. And I think it's important for organizations and businesses to keep an eye on that. A lot of the world economy is quite dependent on China, and the output from China, and it has the potential to have a knock-on effect to the rest of the world. There's a lot of frustration in China at the moment around the COVID strategy, the zero COVID strategy. There's a low uptake on the actual vaccination with a lot of people there, which means that when they come out of lockdown, there's a potential that there might be a rise in infections, and that will lead to further lockdowns or further disruptions in many organizations who have their supply chains linked to China. So I think that's just one example of something that's coming potentially in the future and may have the potential to disrupt supply chains. So for our listeners, if you do have a supply chain that's heavily linked to China, you might want to start looking at mapping that out, understanding that in a level of detail, understanding what disruption it might cause to you, and start to look at contingency planning as a result of that.
Nandi, do you mind if I just ask a question on that? I mean, do you see companies starting to localize their supply chain? So are the benefits of using China now offset by the risks it brings? Do you think we'll start to see it come back?
Yeah, so there's a huge debate in industry around it's all about the globalization topic. Whereas organizations went to low-cost country sourcing in Asia many years ago, a lot of that is now circling back, and a lot of companies are now looking at bringing products closer to where it's going to be utilized or converted. So it is an ongoing debate. The model in itself does not work for every organization. And I've been in a room with people that work in the pharmaceutical industry where nearshoring or onshoring has been talked about, but the expense and the cost of doing that has been far... It has been too high. It's been too costly to even consider bringing a product back near shore. So I guess to answer your question, Alistair, it depends on the organization. It depends on the product line. It depends on what they're supplying. But there's a lot of dependency on China being reduced by a lot of industries, and I think we saw that quite recently in the there was a semiconductor. Semiconductor chip bill that was passed in the US, which effectively stated that the US government was going to invest a lot of money into local manufacture of semiconductors. So yeah, it's going to be happening, and it's an evolving climate. But yeah, really good question, Alistair.
Thanks.
It could be overwhelming for organisations to start to prepare, and there's a lot they could do, and some of the challenges we mentioned earlier about buy-in and time and resource. I guess if we're going to leave listeners with one kind of final thought and urge them to do just, you know, one thing, what would that be?
So I think the overwhelming thing for me that I like to point out to when I speak to colleagues, clients, individuals, is about complacency. And I think Vicky has touched on this, and also Alistair in some respects. It's about the new normal. People shouldn't think that things are going to go back to the way they were pre-2020. I think everybody has to evaluate their situation and where we are today. But one thing that is important is that it's not going to go back to the way it was in the past. And I think people need to define what is their own personal new norm. Procurement and supply chain professionals have to take the front stage within the organizations. It's no longer the premise of everything happens in the background, and procurement and supply chain, they just get on with what they do and they're in the background plugging away. I think their role is key. It's important. It's become more visible within the organization. And rather than that complacency kicking in and those roles moving back again into the background like they were pre-2020, they need to stay at the forefront, and they need to have a seat at the table for strategic discussions within big and small organizations.
Yeah, so from an insurance claims perspective, again, I think the best way to avoid supply chain issues is to not have any losses. Now, that's probably a really naive thing to say when we're dealing with huge organisations who will always have events happening in their business. But the more we can work together and just understand the risks that your business face, work together to try and prevent those from happening, or if they do happen, really minimise the impact they have, then to me you start to overcome some of the supply chain issues you might see. So I'm going for prevention is better than cure on this one. And just saying, let's minimise the number of losses we have, and then that means the ones we do have, we can manage them through together and get to the other side.
So Vicky, I was just going to add, before I lost my train of thought, I was just going to add to what Alistair said. So prevention is better than cure. I think you're absolutely right. I think, again, just hammering on procurement and supply chain professionals, I think they need to go from a reactive way of working to a proactive way of working. So I just wanted to make that point. Sorry, go on, Vicky.
Well, how do I follow those two summing ups now? I would just say don't get overwhelmed. Don't get overwhelmed to the point that you're afraid to do anything. So don't do nothing. Come and ask us for some friendly advice, help and support. That's what we're here for.
Thank you, and thanks to you all for sharing your insight, and thanks to all of you for listening. This is one of a series of podcasts, so if you found it useful, please subscribe wherever you get your podcasts, and consider leaving us a positive rating. And for more information, you can visit us at zurich.co.uk/news and insight.